Welcome, everybody, to episode 421 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself, the Mug. Gentlemen, how was your week? Oh, God damn it, man. You just had to, Mug. What?
I just had to ruin Frank's week.
Oh, Jesus. I had a halfway decent...
The thing is, I know, he was feeling too good. I had to give him a stinko.
Oh, God. That's I'm going to type that in right now for stinkos, man. Fucking harmonicas. All right. How was your week, Eric?
I'm glad it's over.
You've been having a run with a cold, man. That sucks. That really sucks. What about you, Breakman?
God, I'm trying to drink here. What the hell?
It's been that type of week for you.
Are you trying to kill me?
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to kill me, aren't you?
I am. I'm trying to kill all of you guys secretly. All right.
You're not supposed to like announce it if it's a secret. I don't know if you know how a secret.
You don't know when he's going to strike.
No, nobody listens to this show, anyways, man. So,
you know, Frank is like the Inquisition. Yeah. He'll just get you.
Yeah.
So it's like Final Destination. Like, and he will get you eventually. Like, he's going to just keep trying and trying.
Right. Right. That's exactly right, for sure. Well, let's keep trying to get done with this news so we can get that shit out of the way. What do you say, gents? Eric, let's
start the
news.
No.
Yeah, no.
You've had much better segues.
I know, man. I know. Hey, I'm a little rusty, man. I took a week off, so, you know.
Okay, that's fair. Fair.
All right. All right, Eric, let's get going, man. Start with the first
one. From Gematsu, we've got the first details in Atlas's new fantasy RPG, Project Re-Fantasy. It says first details on the game were teased, and they've come out of the latest issue from Mitsu, and it says it's currently titled Project Re-Fantasy, and doesn't have an announced platform yet, or release date, or price, but it's set in the fantasy world rather than the modern world, like the Mega Ten games, mm-hmm. and... It's development at Studio Zero, a new studio established by Atlas that features talents such as Persona series producer and director Katsura Hasino, artist Shigenori Shojima, and composer Shoji Moguro.
Awesome. I don't know if any of you guys... Did you, Eric, look at the live stream of that at all when it came out?
No, I didn't. I was probably working at that hour.
Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to look at it either.
Sleeping because work... Took so much energy on me that I went to bed earlier usually.
Yeah. The colds will do that to you, man, for sure. For sure. All right, Breakman, next story.
In chat, Freak5Chaos is talking about Pathfinder. He said, so my new Pathfinder game should be starting in a couple weeks. So last night I started making my character based on Cartman. And I realized a very important thing about the Scald class, even though the Scald class is based on the Barbarian, which is alignment restricted to non-lawful, mm-hmm. the Scald isn't. So I could multi-class with a Paladin, so with the Rage Song that Scald gets, I could play as a Raging Paladin on a Raging Paladin mount.
Hmm.
And that still kind of fits with my idea of behaving like Cartman.
Respect.
My authority.
Yeah, exactly. That actually sounds like a novel idea there, Freak 5. I'm down to see that character once you're done.
I'm glad you're pretending like you know what he's talking about because I have no idea.
It's just a character and I don't know.
I don't know what Pathfinder is. I'm oblivious.
It's a new game coming out and I'm sure we'll hear more details. I think we've talked about Pathfinder on the show before, but... All right, Breakman.
Probably, but I'm oblivious, so yeah.
Next story.
All right, so coming to us live from Gematsu, first details on Atlas' new fantasy RPG Project.
I just did that one.
Yeah, you did that. We did that, man.
I thought I closed. Oh, my God. coming to us live from Gematsu, H2 Interactive localizing River City Melee Battle Royale special for PS4 in early 2017.
All right.
Okay.
Cool.
I like it. Okay. It's like that River City Ransom shit, huh?
Yeah. I don't want to read
this game sounds more like Renegade, but like everybody gets to fight each other.
That's kind of cool.
The thing is, it's all part of the Kunio-kun series. So.
Yeah.
Freak 5 says Pathfinder is based off the D&D 3.5.
Yeah.
All right, Mug, next.
Dungeons and Dragons rule, the 3.5 rules. So if you didn't know what that meant before, why are you listening to this show?
Yeah, exactly.
Now you are enlightened and no better off for it. All right, coming to us live from Gematsu.com, Toho Genso Wanderer and Toho Double Focus delayed to March 21st in North America, March 24th in Europe. NAS has delayed these games from their previously set release dates to March 21st and March 24th. Toho Genso Wanderer will be available physically and digitally for PlayStation 4 and digitally for PS Vita. All PlayStation 4 physical copies of Toho Genso Wanderer at launch will include a copy of Toho Double Focus as a physical disc in North America and as a digital voucher in Europe. Toho Double Focus will also be available as a separate digital purchase for both PS4 and Vita. NIS America did not state a reason for the delay.
Looks kind of pretty. I don't know really what type of game it'll be, but it looks pretty.
I don't know if there's a lot of stuff coming out in March. That might be why. There's lots of stuff coming out in January and February.
Yeah.
Makes sense. All right. Breakman, I'm going to have you take the next one, my friend.
Coming to us live from Gematsu, Atelier Furious launches March 7th in North America, March 10th in Europe.
Okay, I think that's
Atelier Furious, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Journey will launch physically and digitally for PlayStation 4, digitally for Vita and the Steam, and that's it.
I want a physical Steam copy.
I got how they have to lay it out here. I don't know. I had to read it because they.
Oh yeah, I forgot to add it in the news, but they're also bringing Atelier Sophie to Steam as well.
Huh. But what about the physical copy?
You can get it on PS4 if you want.
No physical Steam copies.
Damn that. Still no.
They're not that kind, and I don't think they worked with NISA to do that again. So,
well, all right. Just done as a joke.
All right, Mug, your turn next.
All right. Coming to us live from Gematsu.com again. This is the biggest news of the well. Let's face it, the year. East 8 for PS4 has 4K support and other new features that have been discussed. In the latest issue of Dengeki PlayStation, there's an interview with Nihon Falcom president Toshihiro Kondo on the PS4 version of East 8 Lacrimosa of Dana, due out on May 25th in 2017 in Japan. So how is the PS4 version enhanced from the Vita? Said, since action had the biggest reaction, we wanted to add more action gameplay elements. Due to capacity restrictions in the PS Vita version, Donna's chapter was more of a bonus element, but in order to strengthen that part, we've added a system called Style Change. We've added an episode to Donna's Itania quest, where you rescue a spirit, as well as added the power to transform via the power of that spirit, and an element to power up that ability. In the Donna chapter, you can fight enemies that can only be defeated in a certain style, as well as take on dungeons that can only be unlocked with such styles. As for the Adult chapter, suppression battles, a sort of different version of counterattack battles, where you go into dungeons to defeat enemies who have settled inside, have been added, and see not only Adult and company, but also Dogi's team participate. Counterattack battles have also increased in number. And what are the appeals of the PS4 version? The beauty of the scenery has increased exceptionally. It runs at a smooth 60 frames per second, and the load times are much quicker than the PS Vita version. There's no more screen division in this drifting village, meaning it's not split up into two separately loaded parts, so you can move around seamlessly. Also, it supports 4K. We're planning to put in many modes requested by East fans. Look forward to it. So it sounds like this is not just a straight port. They're actually like doing some content updates and stuff for it, which is pretty slick.
Yeah, no, this sounds pretty and exciting.
I saw something where apparently, like the the East fan site Endless History had done some translating of it, and apparently he let slip that East 8 would see an English release in 2017.
They're probably going to launch both at the same time, too. Yeah.
Most likely.
Sounds good. Do you think we'll see this?
I don't know. Too many people are going to buy a Vita version that won't have the same amount of content. Unless a Vita is all you got and you can't get a PS4.
You think we'll see this late?
But I don't know. I don't know if that translates to sales, though.
You think we'll see this late 2017 here, or maybe early 2018?
I'm betting, depending on summer. How much. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, the PS4 version is not coming out until May.
Right.
I'm betting you're probably more likely to see it in the Q4 of 2017.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that'd be cool. That's a nice.
I mean, hopefully they've got this, the script from the Vita version, which will be like, 95%, regarding whatever they've added in for the PS4 version. Mm. That hopefully Xseed's already got that.
Right.
And, basically so that once it's ready to go, they can just say, okay, here's the script, give us whatever new stuff is going to be in the PS4 version and we'll translate that and then just probably release them both simultaneously.
Mm. That makes sense. All right, let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu. Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 3, set a year and a half after Trails of Cold Steel 2. Latest issue of Dengeki, PlayStation has an interview with Nihon Falcom president Toshihiro Kondo on the newly revealed Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 3, due out for the PS4 in Japan in 2017. And there's a big-ass article here regarding battle scenes, where does the story come from, in which he talks about it being a short time after Part 2, regarding the Divine Knight system still in development, and that's about it. So that's another good one to look forward to.
Specifically for its battle scenes, it sounds like they're making it more action-y, where, like, it's going to be Super Mario RPG-like, where each button has a function.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad thing.
No, I don't think that'd be bad. I happen to think that almost every RPG is going more the action route nowadays. You hardly ever hear of just traditional.
Nah, it's probably still going to be turn-based, but it's probably going to be something more akin to Valkyrie Profile.
All right. Makes sense. All right, Eric, next story, please.
No, it's just the turn-based games have gone more like mobile and handheld.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right, Rickman. All right, Eric, next story, please.
But I am kind of disappointed, though, that there is not going to be a corresponding Vita version, because the people who bought the previous two games would probably expect it to show up on the same platform, so you could have them all on the same platform. Hmm. Now that won't be possible unless they decide to do a PS4 port, which they may decide to just let someone else do instead.
All right, Eric, let's go on to the next story, please.
Next story would be Fault Milestone 1 for PS4 and Vita, and Root Double for PS Vita, launched in quarter 1 of 2017. Sakai Projects plans to release these games on PSN. And I think there will be physical releases for these that they're doing through limited run games.
Hmm. What kind of games?
But are
these? Visual novels.
I think it's weird to just release Fault Milestone 1. This should be Fault Milestone 1 and 2, but I'm pretty sure they'll just do a big compilation version once all of them are out. Because I don't even think 2's finished yet. 2's like split into two parts, and only the first part's out.
All right.
Says Sakai Project teases that it's planning several more console releases throughout the year, with details to follow rapidly after the release of the aforementioned titles. Mm. Although technically it's a re-release.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with Mug. Next story, please.
All right. Coming to us yet again from Gematsu. Danganronpa V3 to improve PS Vita voice quality via additional data download. Capacity limitations don't allow it on the cartridge. PS Vita, blah, 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 Spike Chunsoft and else. According to associate producer Yuichiro Saito, they heard great demand for PS Vita version voice quality improvements from users who played the Vita demo. The current voice quality of the Vita version is due to capacity limitations, but in considering a way to give fans a much more pleasant gameplay experience, Spike Chunsoft decided to improve the voice quality via an additional data download. More details about it, so when it will be released, will be provided at a later date. That's kind of cool, as long as they're not charging extra for it.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to say about this type of shit. Like, capacity should
I think this just means that the Vita is a platform that developers shouldn't stop pretending like they can develop competently for.
Yeah, or either that, like, they...
No, I mean, voice is just very space-intensive.
It is space-intensive.
And the PS Vita cards, they're basically flash memory.
Yeah, but there should never be an excuse. Like, you should get the same experience all the way around. Like, the data drives for all these.
And that's the problem. Users. These developers are overextending themselves with what they wanted to do. And they're treating the Vita as a portable HD console when it's not.
Yeah.
It's just slightly better than the PSP, which is slightly better than the 3DS.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. Like, it should just never be an excuse. Like, there's always ways around data limitations. Like, people do that shit all the time. Like it just in this story, they just, you know, you can get an additional data download. No big deal.
I could do raid battles in the First Sword Art Online game, Hollow Fragment, and it barely can manage it in the newest game.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just poor optimization. In a case like this, this is not like a performance issue. This is a space issue. It's like there's too much game high quality audio.
Yeah.
Since Sony abandoned the platform, they didn't bother making higher capacity cartridges.
No.
Yeah.
It just sucks for Vita owners for sure. I never did get a Vita, and it's the only console that I'm actually kind of glad I never got, man. It just seems like
there's a lot of good stuff on it. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I know there actually is a lot of good Vita stuff out there.
No, there's great titles for it, no question. I don't know. The way that Sony treated the whole Vita thing is just a little unsettling, but whatever. All right, let's move on to the next story, Breakman.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Wow, again.
Yeah.
King's Knight Wrath of the Dark Dragon delayed to 2017. There you go.
There you go.
It'll be available for iOS and Android, and there you go. I mean, okay.
Yep.
Put much. Everything in your headline.
Freak's asking a question about the episodes. It was more like I expected someone to upload it, so they didn't, so I took it upon myself.
Yeah, Mug.
And I waited way too long.
Yeah, we waited too long, Mug. You hear that?
What? I told you that when I left last time, I was like, I didn't get the episode.
What? All right.
I thought I sent it to you and it was downloading.
I blame Freak 5. There we go.
I blame Eric because I don't know, I haven't blamed Eric for anything in a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Next story comes to us from Gamatsu. Rewrite Harvest Festa coming to...
We didn't have one last week, Freak. That's why.
Yeah. Rewrite Harvest... Jesus. You want to explain that to Freak 5, Eric? All
right. Yeah, I was sick and I didn't do the episode.
Yeah, there you go. Rewrite Harvest Festa coming to PS Vita. Fan disc gets PS Vita release in Japan in April 2017. The quick question about the Vita, since we're on the Vita topic. It's still going pretty strong in Japan, right? I mean, fairly strong.
I mean, the Vita?
Yeah.
It's coasting, I guess.
It's doing better than anywhere else, is what I'm getting.
Well, yeah.
Right? All right.
At least they're still making Vitas, unlike Nintendo.
Yeah. All right. All right. Next story, Eric.
Next story is... hold on, crap. There we go. Rewrite Harvest Festa. Is that it?
Nope. It's the next one. Final Fantasy 14.
Did you skip the one about the King's Knight?
No.
I don't think
Break did that one.
Break did that.
Yeah.
I must have zoned out. Oh, well.
No, it's okay. I'm forgettable. I understand.
Oh, no. I got sidetracked by Freak. That's what happened. Final Fantasy 14. Stormblood expansion launches June 20th. It says it will launch simultaneously across North America, Europe, and Japan. And there'll be a collector's edition, which includes a special package featuring original art by Yoshitaka Amano, exclusive high-quality Xenos figure, Stormblood art book, cloth map of Eorzea.
Yeah.
Original decal, in-game items, Syldra mount, and wind-up Bart's minion. They should just call him Butts, because that would have been wonderful. Anyways, or Booze. Isn't that what it's supposed to be? Oh. But it's spelled like Butts.
No, it's Batsu.
Batsu.
Yeah.
Which sounds a lot like punishment, but... Anyways,
Not Batsu, it's Batsu, man.
Red Mage main arm, chicken knife. I don't know what the main arm means. Ornament? I don't know.
I really didn't understand any of that sentence.
Neither did I.
Maybe I didn't either. Maybe the Red Mage are dual wielders and they have a dominant hand. Maybe that's what it's supposed to mean.
Chicken knife. I like that. Chicken knife.
The chicken knife was in FF5 and it was one of the most overpowered weapons. If you decided that you wanted to run away a lot, otherwise you could use the bravery blade and never run away. It'd be the strongest weapon in the game.
Yeah. All right.
Or one of the stronger weapons in the game.
Anything else on this, Eric?
Says the Red Mage is a new job set to appear in Stormblood, and it's a ranged DPS role that uses rapiers and magic crystal mediums. Its ranged attacks use magic, red magic, plus black and white magic hybrid, in case anybody doesn't know what a Red Mage is. Says that, and its melee attacks use the rapier. It's a hybrid ranged melee style achieved via high speed positioning that could deal massive damage by linking multiple spells with chain spell and following up with melee attacks. So that sounds like they're speedy characters too.
What else? Looks like new swimming, although you won't be able to access all the water. New beast tribe called the Ananta will appear. Two new high end raids will appear. The Bend of Time, Omega. And something else. And the second raid is Return to Ivalice, which is being written by Final Fantasy XII and Final Fantasy Tactics creator Yasumi Matsuno. So there you go.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with that, it's like Ivalice is the world of Final Fantasy XII and what was it? What game? What was the other game that used the same setting?
Tactics.
Tactics. Yeah. Okay.
You're talking about my world.
And Tactics Advance, and by extension, I guess.
Yeah. That's, I knew it was 12 cool. And one other game that used that world. Or at least 12? One other game that used that world.
12? Do you guys think 12 was underrated? I think 12 is kind of underrated.
I didn't get into it. I played about 5 hours into it. I've still got my Steelbook copy on PS2. I have to admit, I've been giving some thought to picking up the HD re-release and giving it another whirl.
When is that coming out, or is it already out? Because
I think it's due out like next summer.
Okay,
this coming summer.
Because I'm looking forward to that. I'd like to play through that game again. I like that game quite a bit. It was a lot different at the time.
Yeah,
I liked it.
I mean, it was very heavily influenced by Final Fantasy XI.
Yeah,
which is not surprising.
Yeah, but I think better than XI, to be honest.
Well, 11 was just an MMO.
I know.
Apparently, a lot of people liked it. I think the PC version is still going.
Oh, yeah, it's still going. 14 is not quite as popular, I don't think, as what 11 is.
I don't know. 14, ever since they did the A Realm Reborn thing, and then they've been keeping up with the expansions and everything, as far as I know, it's doing really well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's doing well for sure. Like, those games
definitely. Whoa. Hold on. MXT actually has a comment about something other than his smart ass comments.
Oh, okay.
He said 12 kind of felt unfinished.
It's not unfinished so much as it was a weird amalgamation of two different developers or directors mashing both their styles in the one game to try to get it finished.
Can we all stop and applaud for MXT?
Matsuno had to leave because he had a nervous breakdown.
Did he?
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it definitely happens in the gaming world, man. Shit. You need to look no further than that documentary on Phil Fish and how he melted down several times during development. But
I had a boss meltdown in front of everybody once. Working like at a retail store when I was a lot younger.
No, that shit happens, man.
FF15 has the same problem.
Yeah.
Shifted development midway.
Yeah. All right, last story. Let's go with Mug on the last story.
Yeah, Revenant Wings is just like a 12 sequel.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah. All right. Again from Gematsu, Super Robot Wars 5, Super Robot Tyson 5, will launch both physically and digitally for PlayStation 4 and PS Vita in Southeast Asia on February 23rd, Bandai Namco announced. And if you don't know, the Asian versions of these games recently have all had full English scripts built into them. They're not fantastic translations, but you can get through the entire thing. And they're extremely import friendly. The full overview of the game is play as original characters and use 25th anniversary special original robots in combat. Players can choose from several main characters to play as, such as Soji Murakumo and the Chitose Kisaragi. Or they can use the default settings and play as one of the game's sub-characters. Whichever character a player uses, they will begin the game with the Vangray, a prototype anti-alien mobile weapon developed by the 3rd Special Tactical Lab. This unit was built to provide the best in mobility, armaments, and firepower, despite being constructed in haste using parts and materials from existing units. As a special 25th anniversary bonus, the Grungust and Hookabine robots from the 4th Super Robot Wars original series will also feature in combat. So it looks like this is... Oh, no, it does have a... never mind. Even new players can enjoy Super Robot Wars 5. Beginner's mode allows the player to challenge himself with different tasks and scenarios at a predetermined difficulty level, earning bonus money and tack points upon clearing the map. Players may switch game modes at the intermission. Switching modes will not affect the storyline or the robots and pilots that will make an appearance. So it sounds like it's basically kind of like an easier version, an easier difficulty level. Starring the great Mazinger and Mazin Emperor G. A new Mazinger, the Mazin Emperor G, will make its first ever appearance in the series. The unit is based off the great Mazinger and boasts superior capabilities. And an Emperor Aureole is mounted on its back, and other weapons include the great Smasher Punch and Emperor Blade. Its pilot is Tetsuya Tsurugi, which is another way of pronouncing the kanji for sword. The game will come with the same 3 bonuses as the Japanese version. Special starter pack scenario where you can earn power parts and money that will give you a boost in the early stages of the game. It gives you some bonus currency, a V-circuit, which is like some just like stat boost, and quantum computer terminal, which like increases all attributes by 10%. A Super Robot Wars original theme for PS4 and PS Vita. Bonus 3, Grungus and Hookabine original robots unlocked for combat from the first stage of the game, specially for the 25th anniversary. By entering the product code before the second episode, players can unlock the following power parts and bonuses for these two and the original characters, and just a bunch of other stuff that you can get with it. Yeah, it sounds like it'll be pretty good.
Is Hookabine German for concubine?
Probably not. Oh. It may be not real German.
Mm. Okay. Well, I was just checking. All right. That's the end of the news, thankfully. Any Twitter questions this week, Wigman? Yes, no, maybe so.
Ooh. Sorry, I was muted. I was talking to myself there for a moment. there's actually some stuff from Freak Fire Chaos. He sent me a story. I guess I should just go ahead and read this story here.
All right.
Coming to us live from where is this from? I'm not actually sure what story. Vice.com.
All right.
Cum rags for Congress.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Protest Texas abortion law with semen socks. In response to Texas' absurd fetus funeral rule, an activist from the Satanic Temple is encouraging people to send items coated in semen or semen-like substances to Governor Greg Abbott.
I love it. I did hear about this. That's fucking awesome.
I don't think we need to read the whole story because that pretty much sums it up, right?
I find it funny that like these aborted fetuses have to have funerals now. I mean, that's fucking ridiculous, man. That's like the dumbest thing ever, man.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's strictly about punishing women. I mean, that's literally, there's no other purpose behind
it. Yes. Let's have more unwanted children in this world. And that's a great idea.
Or religious dogma, like being forced down your throat. Like, oh, all souls need a funeral. Get the fuck out of here, man. That's so stupid. All right, what else, Breakman? Anything else on
On that story, that's all, because I'm not going to read the whole article, because I think we got everything we needed from that line.
Yeah, I totally agree.
He also says, after seeing Rogue One, I want a Star Wars slasher film. Jedi who escaped from Order 66 being stalked and killed by Vader.
Yeah, I could do with that, man. I think I mentioned the last time I was on about that Vader scene. Like, I wanted just a bit more. I know I know it was tantalizing enough for most people, but just a bit more would have been super cool.
I love that scene.
Yeah,
that showed off just how terrifying Vader.
Oh yeah, I mean that was the thing. It's just like, oh okay, he's a force of nature, and but, you know, it's like the one time where it's like, what's funny is, you know, watching that, and then you go back and you look at A New Hope, and it kind of recontextualizes that opening thing where, and you know, where. The opening of A New Hope, it's like he's seen this ship, you know, make its escape. Like he knows exactly what's on there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and then you have this, when he gets on the ship, all the, you know, every single rebel that they deal with, of course he's angry from the moment he walks onto the ship.
Right.
Right.
And, but it's like all the rebels are all sticking to the story. Like, this is a consular ship. You know, there's, you know, we have no idea what you're talking about. It's like, when they know that he's seen this ship.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
What? And I was just like, and what? You know, but seeing everything, you know, just having seen like the end of Rogue One, it's like,
yeah,
oh, that's why they're so afraid. It's not just like he's intimidating. It's like,
right.
They've just seen him murder a bunch of their fellows.
Right.
While all of them were shooting at him, and a normal person would have died.
I don't understand why he just didn't use the force to hold the guy with the fucking thing and then hold the door open, because he's obviously power enough.
Because he was being shot at. I mean,
yeah, he was. I think he was
super. He's not like super fast or anything. You know, he's half robot. He's got like a bunch of guys shooting at him. He's trying to block their blast while trying to get through it.
Yeah, it's okay, Brake Man. You can be a Darth Vader apologist if you want to. It's okay.
He's half robot. He walks the slowest.
Well, I mean, that is one of the points that they made is that, you know, him being like half cybernetic and all that. It's like he's not as agile and, you know, he's just not as quick as he was when he was, you know, all 100% human.
He's quick enough to wield that lightsaber like no other. Like, maybe Yoda's faster, but that's about it, man.
He's still not the type where he could sit there and deflect a whole bunch of blaster bolts, swing the sword around, and also hold the door, or force the door sealed, and you know, grab the data thing from the guy all at the same time. He's a Jedi. He's not superhuman, or Sith. He's not superhuman in that sense.
he's not a super Sith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He doesn't suddenly have Rey's abilities.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Where he suddenly can do things that just seemed impossible to most everybody else.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, I guess. All right, anything else?
There is one more thing, and it's a Would You Rather, and I don't
know. No! All right. What's the Would You Rather?
This is an interesting one. This is Star Wars, and this is a heavy spoiler alert, I guess. Okay. Wait a minute. No, I guess not, because it has – I don't know. Anyway, with Carrie Fisher's death, would you rather have Leia die between films or see a CGI Leia?
I hope she dies in Episode 8, to be perfectly honest.
I'm hoping that they rewrite it so she does die in the next movie.
Well, she definitely finished all her scenes for Episode 8, but I'm in agreement with you guys so far. I totally agree. They should do her life's legacy justice and you know, kill her off and
do you think it'd be lame if she ended up dying and that's what helps loosen the hold that Darkseid has on Kylo?
I don't think that's going to be loosened. I think we're going to see him go really dark. I think he's going to go evil, and then
from everything I've heard, he's going to Vader it at the end.
Yeah,
from everything I've heard, like Episode 8 is supposed to kind of be like the Empire of the new trilogy. Like, it's going to be like the really dark middle part.
I hope because that Empire to me was the best of the trilogy by far. Like I mean
it's the one you can go to and look at and say, like, okay, this is, you know. You can go, if you take, you know, like, what's Star Wars all about? You show them Empire. It's like, oh, okay, this is a good movie in its own right. It's not like, you know, you look at Return of the Jedi. It's like, oh, it's, you know, it's okay. You know, it's pretty good. It's a Star Wars movie. Right. It's pretty good. It's like, you know, you don't have to make apologies for any of it. Right. It stands on its own as a really good movie.
Right. Right. And that's how I felt about Rogue One, by the way. I felt it kind of stood alone, you know, like in the series.
I mean, so did I. I mean, it's like one of the weakest aspect of Rogue One is the characterization.
Yeah. Yeah.
The characters don't get enough time to really be developed. And that's apparently, you know, my friend Chris was telling me, like, that's a Gareth Edwards thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's only his third movie. It's like the second one was like, I don't remember what the first one was. The second one was the 2014 Godzilla.
Well, and we don't know what they cut out of that movie too. I'm sure there'll be a director's cut with a little bit more character development.
Well, the thing is, knowing Gareth, Chris was saying, like, you know, knowing Gareth Edwards, probably not. Mm. There's probably more character moments in the film now after studio interference than there was before, because that's not what Gareth Edwards does.
Mm. Mm, that's a shame, because there's some interesting characters in there for sure.
Let me get back to chat, because there's a lot going on in chat.
Yeah, go for it, man. I can't see the chat, guys. So
I know. That's why I got to go back a little bit here, because there's a lot going on.
All right, let's hear it.
Let me see here. Going back, Free Five Cast says, before Star Wars, and a little disappointed with the Homecoming trailer. I was hoping to see a Miles Morales movie eventually, and it looks like they're using aspects of his story in Homecoming. Mm. And then there's something about back at Final Fantasy, but because of 13 and its tie-ins, we got the bromance movie thing in 15 with all guy characters. Well, it's kind of the bromance. Dumb word, I think, but whatever. Freak Five, and Waylon joined us. Hey, Waylon.
What's up,
Freak Five Cast says that short scene with Vader makes Kylo Ren look like the GoBots of Darksiders. Sidious tried to replace him with. My God, I hit the scroll button by accident. I'm sorry. Sidious tried to replace him after the Death Star ate it. Kylo killed Han, says MXT. I doubt he'll care about Leia. If they kill her off, says Wayland, they'll do it off screen in a crawl for episode 9. I hope not. I'm honestly
hoping that they were already planning to kill her in episode 8.
That would be ideal. I doubt it.
That would be the best possible outcome where they don't have to do any weird, you know, clutching.
You're probably right.
But, you know, from what I gathered, Carrie Fisher was signed up to do 9. I don't know what capacity.
She definitely was. But, I mean, as she is Jedi, she could be one with the Force at that point. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, well, she wasn't a Jedi, but she was Force sensitive. Mm-hmm. She never actually became a Jedi. Anyway, Freak Five says, with my Vader as a slasher idea, I had some other thoughts. Reshoot a Friday the 13th movie with Vader as Jason and Jedi as the people he killed. I'm thinking Jason X makes the best idea for that.
I like it. I like that.
Jason X was fun.
It was fun. It definitely didn't play into the whole canon of Friday the 13th, but it was a fun movie. I like Jason X quite a bit. I don't know how I obtained a screener, like probably 6 to 8 months before that movie came out, but I got a screener of that movie, and I was impressed with it at the time. I remember being really impressed.
Were you on all fours or just your knees?
You son of a bitch.
Jason X was a movie in the can, completed for like a year and a half before it saw release.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I saw it almost.
That's
a year.
I mean, a lot of people saw it before it hit theaters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. MXT says Kylo, I think, will be redeemed in 9. Yeah, right before he dies, he'll join the light side again.
Yeah.
Waylon says, which sucks since her part is much larger in 8, and it'll tie in with Bloodline. He's talking about Leia again. Mm-hmm. And then Freak says, and then I had the thought, while Freddy being replaced with Vader couldn't work, I think Freddy's glove with lightsaber blades instead of knives would be really cool. I think so too.
I've seen somebody.
Did you guys see that video of Australian Star Wars?
Mm-mm, I didn't see that.
Look it up. Just Google Australian Star Wars. It's fucked up.
I've seen a video of Freddy with a lightsaber glove before. So
I saw a video of Spider-Man fighting Darth Maul. Huh.
There's actually a plug-in nowadays. It's actually, I think it's just called Saber. It's specifically designed to do lightsaber effects. Mm. Or basically, like you stop your frame, you find where your saber is supposed to be, and you kind of draw the points around it, and you go click, and it turns it into a glowing lightsaber.
That's fucking cool. I like it.
Yeah,
What were you going to say, Breakman? More chat.
Freaks, he answered the question for it. He said, on your knees, that's how you got your screener.
Oh, get out of here, you son of a bitch. Exiled. Fucker.
Well, that's because the computer was on the floor and he had to you know, kneel down to 20.
Walking off this goddamn show. Walking off.
I was backing you up. I said you were at the computer was on the floor. You had to kneel down in order to torrent it. Like you had to get on your knees in order to reach the keyboard. There's no one there. I wasn't saying you sucked anybody off, although we all know you did.
Oh, shut up. I'm walking off this goddamn show, man. You son of a bitch. I wasn't saying anything bad, but I'm going to turn it into something bad. You goddamn.
Well, I only did that because you decided to be an asshole about it.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Like, I'm walking off the show. It's like, walking off. I was not saying anything bad at all, but now I'm going to.
Walking off. I'm walking off this show and become a security guard.
Freak says, bye, Felicia.
Get out of here, fucking freak five. Exiled, son of a bitch. All right. Anything else on the old Twitter, Breakman?
No, that was in chat. Freak 5 says he thinks their plan for 7 through 9 is to kill everyone off from the original trilogy.
That would be okay too, I think. I think they need to
that would pave the way for 10 through 12 or whatever they plan on doing to be completely new.
Obviously. So they can get their money.
Yeah, which is fine by me because there's some pretty good stories to be told in that universe, that's for sure. All right, what are you even playing, Breakman?
Mostly Fallout. I think I've spent most of my time recently kind of got sidetracked from trying to, you know, conquer everyone and beat them in submission to getting laid. Yeah, so I can't help it. So I'm working on getting laid right now instead of conquering everyone and beating them in submission or everything else.
You just want to do that in that game, huh? You just want to see tits. That's what it is, man.
I can't help but go after the vagina.
All right, Eric.
I'm a sad man.
Breakman is like this vagina, and it just that's like drooling out outside of
his. Just neck. Walking down the street, ooh, vagina. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric. What have
woman,
you
she has vagina. He says it like really, really loudly.
Right. He carries
it's
around.
Like just walking down the street is first like. Woman have vagina.
He carries one of those caveman clubs around with him all the time. Yeah.
Woman, it's like it's not even woman, it's woman.
You come home with me.
Woman.
Oh man, that's fucking hilarious. All right, Eric, what are you playing, man?
Over the course of the 2 weeks I've tried to get that Karno Shoujo 2 done. I finally did. And more Pokemon Moon. And I played a little bit of the Batman Telltale series. And I've also been playing Steins Gate 0.
All right.
Or do you want me to say Steins Gate 0?
Yeah, you could do that. All right. All interesting stuff, man. I've been playing Caveman 2, Revenge of the Ooman. That's pretty good.
Sounds like my life.
Yeah, exactly. MPQ, I actually got a new character, surprisingly so. My first, five-star character, Black Bolt. Black Bolt is awesome. I'll never get another Black Bolt cover, but, he's pretty cool. Five-star character. So there you go. Mug, what are you playing, man?
Well, I played a little bit of The Witcher CE, Complete Edition, Witcher 3, rather, I should say. And I was looking around at there's a series on YouTube called Extra Credits, where they go into, like, you know, just a lot of stuff about game design and everything. It's a really interesting series, and there's freaking hundreds of episodes. But they have this thing called, you know, games you haven't played. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, stuff that you may or may not be familiar with. And it's like, they promise that, you know, we don't promise that any of these games are good. We just that they're interesting, that they do something distinctive. Mm-hmm. And, so I've gotten a few recommendations for stuff off of there. And they said, one of them was that this game called The Static Speaks My Name. And it's completely free and it's incredibly short. Like it'll take you about 10 minutes to get through.
What?
Yes.
What is it? A PC game?
PC, it's what?
Or it, what type of game is it? PC?
It's PC. It's on, yeah, it's on Steam. Completely free.
Right.
And it's weird, and it's incredibly dark, and it's very unsettling, and it will stay with you. Everyone should go check this out and play it tonight. It will fuck with your head.
Wow. I don't have a PC, so I'll just have to watch a Let's Play of it. But I'll definitely do that after the show. I ain't got shit going on. I wish I did.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right, what else have you been playing, Monk?
They had a sale on Steam for the 7th Guest and the 11th Hour for like $2.50. So I decided to go ahead and grab them.
Yeah.
So I started playing a little bit of the 7th Guest, which I hadn't played in fucking forever.
That is that one of those Myst type games, Mug? Or
well, it predates Myst, but just barely. It's the premise of it is basically like there's this, you know, this haunted house that was, you know, owned by this old doll maker who, you know, he made these toys and stuff, and you know, something, and a bunch of children disappeared and everything. And you're wandering around this, and he was like, he made all these puzzles. And you're wandering around the house while, and like encountering the ghosts of the other six guests, or like the six guests that were supposed to be there. And you're trying to figure out who the seventh one was. Mm. But like you go through and you like solve all these weird puzzles, ranging in, you know, they range in difficulty from like, you know, just pretty straightforward. And some of them are, like, well, there's one in particular. It's a goddamn, if you've ever played the game, the goddamn Bishop's Puzzle. It's like it takes 40, you know, you can't complete it in, you know, it takes 40 moves to beat it.
Hmm.
It's like five, essentially it's like, it's a, you know, little chessboard. It's like five rows. And I think, I want to say it's what, like six, you know, like six or seven across,
mm-hmm.
but it's all full of bishops and they all move with bishop rules.
Hmm.
And you have to arrange it so that, you know, there's white on one side, black on the other. You have to swap them.
Hmm.
And doing it strictly with bishop movements is really fucking hard.
Oh,
I was never able to solve it without looking that particular solution up.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a classic game and it's still a lot of fun. And I found out that there was a, like, I remember a while back, the creators of it, you know, Trilobite Software, had kind of reemerged, and they did a Kickstarter to try and see if they could, you know, get money together to do a third game.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't pan out.
Oh, that sucks.
And there was a second Kickstarter with lower, a lower amount being asked for, and that also didn't work.
Oh, Jesus.
But what happened was there was a fan, basically like this fan group kind of got this thing together to make their own, you know, game in the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
And or like to do basically like a massive fan game kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they actually managed to acquire the license because their Kickstarter was very successful. They not only acquired the license, mm-hmm. they're doing the same thing because this was an early game, like where they did like full motion video for the ghosts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually got the guy who played the doll maker in the first two games.
Oh shit.
Come back and reprise his role.
That's really
It's called, you know, it's like there was the seventh guest in the 11th hour, and this new game that's still in the works is supposed to, I think it's coming out like late 2017.
Uh-huh.
It's called the 13th Doll.
My question is, how do these guys put out a game like that, which it may or may not be good, but let's just assume it's halfway decent. Why couldn't the developers do the same thing? I don't understand. Why do they have to rely on Kickstarter? You know what I mean? I mean, these fans are just putting together something, and it may...
Because things cost money.
No, but still, these guys are putting it together. Like, why can't the original...
So developers? You're assuming they have pockets.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like it's about resources.
Well, I don't know, man. It just seems kind of weird to me. Ironic, I guess. I don't know. Anything else, Mug?
No, that was pretty much it for me.
All right, let's move on to Stinkos. Eric, I don't see a Stinko there. Do you have a Stinko this week?
You skipped my homie discounts.
Oh, shit, did I? What's your homie discounts, yes. Bud? Sorry.
The first one's erotic. You know how Indie Gala will occasionally do erotic games that bundles? Well, they're doing another one this year called the Xmas 4-Play Bundle. Even though Xmas was last week, it's gone on for about 2 weeks. And there's like 4 days left on it.
Hmm.
And, well, it's almost five. It's like 4 days and like 20 hours. But, anyways, hope we can get up the episode out in time so people can actually go get them. But The games on offer here are all from Manga Gamer, and it's Ultimate Boob Wars, subtitled Big Breast vs. Flat Chest. Slave Witch April, Harajuku Dating Paradise. The Japanese name for that is Naratashi Banzai. And Valkyrie Sivia, and Forbidden Love with the subtitle's not showing up here. It says, with my wife's sister.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I wish I could play these. I would get this if these were Mac compatible. I would fucking play these games in a second.
Man, also, there's a note here that says even if you buy this bundle, you have to redeem your keys before November 30th.
Oh fuck! Well, so it's not good anymore. Then don't buy it.
No, then. Next year.
Oh, next year. Okay, well, that makes sense. All right. Well, there you go.
These do have expiration dates. I don't know why they do, but they do.
Yeah, that's stupid. All right. Any other homie discounts, man?
Yes. PS Plus deals for this for January. Since by the time people listen to this, it probably will be January. But anyways, the free games on offer for January are Day of the Tentacle Remastered, This War of Mine, The Little Ones, which is an expansion of This War of Mine, and The Swindle, Titan Souls, and for PS3 it's Blaze Rush and The Swindle, and for Vita it's Azken 2, The World Beneath, Day of the Tentacle Remastered, The Swindle, and Titan Souls.
Alright, pretty decent.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, if you haven't picked it up already, if you go on Xbox Live Arcade on your 360, and you can still download Lost Odyssey for free.
Yeah,
it's like Lost Odyssey. Between now and the end of December 31st.
I'll have to do that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I like Lost Odyssey.
I told you like 2 weeks ago, break.
We mentioned it on the show previously, but I figured it's like, well, the month is almost out, and the offer's still good. So if you haven't done it, do it.
Yeah, break for sure. Download that game, man.
It's a good game.
It's really good. It's really good. All right, Eric. No stinkos, Eric?
Other than my cold.
No.
Fuck colds.
Yeah, fucking colds suck, man. All right, break, man. Your stinko if you have
it. I think my stinko's fucking obvious. I think most of us share the same stinko. Rest in peace, Carrie Fisher. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and George Michael.
I would have added it, but it's kind of obvious.
Yeah. George Michael.
Yeah. Mrs. Breakman's been.
Her mom also died.
A day later. That's fucked up.
I know, man.
Apparently she said right before she dies, like, I want to be with Carrie.
Aww. Yeah. That's
like, oh god damn.
That's heartbreaking, man. That really sucks.
Yeah.
Mug, your stinko if you have one.
Well, you know, there's the obvious one. There's been, you know, a few, you know, a lot of not great news. I mean, like, let's face it, the last 2 months have not been, you know, wonderful.
Right.
But I would like to say I am fucking sick of people fucking personifying 2016. the thing is that what people don't get is like
2016 is evil.
I know, but it's like, you know what you don't get is like, okay, when we were kids, the people that we look up to were like either young adults or well into adulthood.
People get old and they die.
Like we're nearing middle age.
Right.
And you know, it's like, it's going to happen. It's like, it's one thing to look at, like, you know, Carrie Fisher died, you know, she died at age 60. Mm. It's not terribly surprising that she died because, you know, and as she was one of the first ones to admit, she had a horrible drinking and drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrecked her body. Right. Like, George Michael's death was out of the blue.
Yeah.
And he was only 53. Mm. But I was like, people talking about, you know, like someone like John Glenn, who died at the age of 95. I'm like, this man had a life the likes of which you rarely see outside of fairy tales.
Right, right.
And he lived to be 95 years old. And, you know, it's like, you can't say that his death is like, it's sad for his family because I'm sure he had people who loved him and will miss him.
Right.
But you should celebrate his life, not mourn his death.
No, I totally agree with you on most of that, Mug. But For my Stinko, I am giving 2016 a Stinko because it's been personally one of the worst years of my life. Just and all those deaths that we talk about that people personify 2016 just add to, you know, my depression.
Well, I mean, like you've had like a lot of personal shit going on this year, and so have I.
Right. Right. But we both like, have, man. And that's the reason why 2016 has been probably the worst year of my life. I think by far the worst year of my life. And that's kind of why, I mean, we have a new president coming in 2017, which fuck him. But I think 2017 is going to be light years better for me personally. At least I hope, because this year has been the most god-awful piece of shit year that I can remember in years, man. I mean, I've had ups and downs like anybody else, but man, the downs I suffered this year are just awful, really awful. Personally, I don't know George. Obviously, I know, you know, none of us knew all these celebrities. I mean, we could talk about Prince, we can talk about Carrie Fisher, George Michael, John Glenn. I mean, all these celebrities that
I don't know any of them actually. Right. Yeah. There's some I know, but I've met a few of these people.
I have because I've had the pleasure of meeting celebrities in the past when I used to work different jobs, but. Just personally, it's been a shit year for me. So 2016 does get one of my stinkos of the year. We mentioned George Michael. George Michael was a musical fucking genius, and he wrote a lot of shit for a lot of people.
In my opinion, had one of the greatest fucking voices.
Oh, he had a great voice, no question about it. George Michael was a super uber talented individual. You know, people make fun of people like George Michael, and they also made fun of like Richard Marx. I know Richard Marx is still living, but Richard Marx has written a lot of great songs for a lot of great artists. So, you know, it's people like that. Like they just recognize their singing career. But they don't realize it like other people, like Bob Dylan.
I've always been more interested in the person that makes music than the person who sings music.
Well, I'm interested in both because I love music. But, you know, it's just been a shit year. I love acting. I mean, I was an actor in college and, you know, stuff like that. So when I hear somebody like Carrie Fisher, who meant a lot to a lot of people, it does hurt a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Like, not surprised, like you said, Mug, but it still doesn't hurt any less. You know,
of course not. I mean, and honestly, it's like of all the celebrity deaths of the year, that was the one that was like, that kind of hits me a little bit.
You know, since we're on this subject of stinkos, why don't we do a stinko of the year? I just out of the blue, it just came to my mind. Eric, do you have a stinko of the year?
The entire GOP.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, man. That's for so many different reasons. The DNC, too, man. Breakman, do you have a stinko of the year?
Yeah, I agree with those. I know I do, but I can't think of it right now.
Mug?
I will say Trump and everything that's led up to him actually being able to be elected, like just the attitude shifts and everything, and the credulity of people that's allowed things to reach this point, and everything he's going to do as a result, the damage he's going to do to the country.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. I got a co-stinko of the year. Trump is obviously one, and the second is harmonica. It's the worst instrument ever.
I'll bring that even further. I'll say that the complete global takeover, or the seemingly complete global takeover by right circles everywhere.
Okay, let's move on to break. I didn't forget about you. If you think of one, a stinko of the year, just let me
know. Yeah, okay. I'm cool. I know you didn't. It's cool.
Sweeto of the year. Mug, do you have a or Sweeto of the week? I don't see anything listed, and Sweeto of the year.
All right. Well, my Sweeto of the week is.
Oh, get the fuck out of here, man! Son of a bitch! I should hang up on you for that, man.
And my Sweeto of the year.
Yeah. Any day now.
No, I'm thinking. Uh-huh. Well, I'll I will I I will like be shy with the details, but I'll say that I think my, you know, 2016 has kind of sucked, but I think it's going to be – I think it's paving the way for a much better 2017.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mug. I think you are right, man. We're kind of in the same boat, dude. Breakman, your sweet of the week if you have one, and sweet of the year.
To the holidays.
Yeah.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah.
Right, we didn't give you a Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa show, so you get a New Year's show.
It was the
Krampus came, decided to give me a cold because he's a jackass.
this first time in 37 years that Kwanzaa, Christmas, and Hanukkah were at the same time. So that's kind of a cool little deal, I guess. Let's see. No sweeto of the year, Breakman. All right.
Okay. Whatever Eric says.
Okay, Eric, you're sweeto of the week and sweeto of the year if you have one.
My promotion at work and the increased payouts.
Oh shit! Nice. Right on, man. Congrats.
Nice.
That's awesome. What about sweeto of the week, man?
Don't really have one this week, other than like getting over my cold.
Oh, okay. Let's see. My sweeto of the week is just hotties in general. I've looked at women a lot differently these past few months, and
all the finger banging you've been doing.
Oh my god!
But was that allowed? My bad. Sorry.
It was last night. Yeah.
Well, man. Okay. I will acquiesce. I will not divulge details. Maybe not now. Maybe at a later time. Let's see. And also, sweeto of the year, probably the Standing Rock protesters, the water protectors, and the veterans. Nothing changed in Standing Rock until, 4,000 veterans decided to go down there and stand their ground against a bunch of tyrannical cops that were using water on people in sub-freezing temperatures, blowing a woman's arm off with a grenade for simply protesting. I mean, just a bunch of bullshit that went down there. It kind of reminded me, you know, speaking of Native Americans and what they've dealt with since day one of the occupation of the United States. You know, it just harkens back to those days of get the fuck out of here. You have no rights, pretty much. And I'm glad that Obama finally did something instead of nothing there. They're not, as of right now, they're not building the Dakota Access Pipeline. So that's a good thing. That's one good thing that came out of this year. I think that's my sweeto of the year. So there you go. Anything else, Breakman? Did you have a stinko of the year or anything that you thought of by chance?
No. Let's anybody move on.
Yeah. It's been a real down year for me, but I'm with Mug. I'm very hopeful for 2017. Politics aside, because we all know that shit's going to suck and there's going to be a lot of damage and whatnot. But I just think Trump's incompetent. He's not going to get shit done.
Yeah, that's what I've said all along, and now I just have to hope I'm right about it.
He just put too many bad people in his cabinet to think that nothing is going to get done. You know what I mean? There's going to be some shit that gets done. Just most of what Trump said is not going to get done. So.
Right. And he's backed off on a lot of it, too.
Yeah.
Because his advisors told him to, because his advisors aren't completely stupid.
I know. It's pretty funny. Like, oh, you know all that stuff I said? Well.
Yeah. All right. Breakman, you're fucking hilarious, dude. All right. Let's move on. We got some reviews to.
He's going to run away bigly.
Yeah, bigly.
Oh, God.
Huge. God. It's huge.
Huge. Yeah, huge. Yeah. Wasn't it Vuge?
Yeah, Vuge. Eric, you have some reviews this week, or are those old reviews?
No, they're still standing because I didn't do a show last week.
All right, let's do it. You got some reviews.
All right. I got a review of – first up is Crimson Peak. directed by Guillermo del Toro. Sorry, I can't speak right today.
Guillermo del Toro is one of my favorite directors, by the way. He's awesome.
I actually think this movie is not that strong.
Yeah, so. It's not his strongest effort, for sure.
It is a good horror movie. It's about a woman who gets basically swept away by this guy. She's trying to start a business with his estate, because I guess apparently his parents used to own a mine, and he's trying to sell this clay that's in the mine, mm-hmm. and selling his its special properties, but he's failed to get a business and attract money, and he's done all kinds of things to keep himself afloat, and he's somewhat of a con artist. Mm-hmm. And well, we learn later that he's not just a con artist, but he's also involved in a murder. But by that time, she's kind of stuck there, and she finds out, and then it turns into a horror movie at that point. But there's a ghost element to the movie that definitely does not need to be there, because it adds nothing to the overall plot.
Mm, yeah, I think I would agree with you, Eric. Although
I feel like it was just there so that Guillermo del Toro could show off his monster-making capabilities.
I also think that part of that was a figment of that character's imagination too, Eric. I think there was some psychological shit going on there, like little subtle dealings with that. That's kind of my take on Crimson Peak. I agree with you, though. It totally didn't need to be there to be very
effective. I'm going to give this movie 6.5.
Yeah, that seems fair. That's probably what I would give it. Have Breakman or Mug, have you seen Crimson Peak?
I have not.
Yeah, it's worth watching. It definitely is worth watching at least once. Next one, Eric.
Batman: Return of the Caped Crusaders. This is a movie for the ridiculous, because it's based on. It is a parody of the 66 Batman TV show, which itself feels like a parody. Because I know the comics show were nutty back then, but I think the show was even nuttier than the comic books.
Is this the one voiced by Adam West and Burt Ward?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they reprise the roles here.
Okay.
I don't know how many of the voice or how many of the actors reprise their roles, but I know
I'm guessing all the living ones, and there's not a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say the Joker could not have been.
No,
yeah,
the Penguin could not have been. The Joker
Burgess
could
Meredith
not.
Is yeah. yeah. Burgess Meredith has been dead for quite a while.
Yeah, Cesar Romero's
but
been
he
dead.
Have been
longer.
Great.
Yeah,
I remember when Burgess Meredith voiced Golobulus in the G.I. Joe movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He was like, holy crap. I was like, wait a minute. Is that Burgess Meredith?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit, it is. Like, no wonder his voice is so badass.
Burgess Meredith.
Citizens of Cobra Law, detach and defend to the death.
Yeah.
Burgess Meredith. I know a lot of people don't love that movie or flat out hate it, but I fucking love that
which
movie.
Which one?
Oh, yeah. I loved G.I. Joe the movie when I was a kid.
No, I love it now.
Yeah. I think
right now.
I think the voice actress for Catwoman was the last Catwoman that they used, because they went through three Catwomen in that show.
Yeah. And I think they're all dead now. Wait, no, I think one of them's still alive.
Yeah, Eartha Kitt is definitely dead. A very underrated actor, Burgess Meredith, for sure. He was great in The Rock.
I don't think he was underrated. I think he got a lot of respect, much due respect.
Yeah,
he was great.
He was awesome.
Although they did pay homage to the other Catwoman actresses, because there's a scene in the movie where he gets injected I think he gets hit in the face or something really hard, and he sees three Catwomen, and it's the other two alongside the one that's in the movie.
That's funny.
But the movie has it goes for the retro look, so it's using like 60s style animation, so it actually ends up looking more similar to Archer, because there's like thick lines everywhere and the characters don't move all that much. But it doesn't try to modernize it at all either. It uses the same technology that was present in that show, so it's almost more like it's basically a movie, like a second movie that they would have done in live action had they had the chance. is basically what it amounts to. And it is a medley of things that you'd saw on the show. Because I think that there was ever an episode where he gets put into like a gigantic TV dinner tray and nearly gets incinerated. And they go to space, and in a very anachronistic looking spaceship or space station that looks more akin to what people thought space stations looked like in the '40s. But of course they make all the jokes like the antidote pills.
And oh my god!
Shit like that. And it was a nice homage, but I think that it would have worked better. It was a DVD only release too, so it's not high fidelity video quality. But I think if they purposely did like a retro filter to make it look like an old cartoon, it would have worked better.
If they're trying to cater to their audience, why didn't they release it on VHS?
Yeah, I totally agree with actually.
Maybe they'll do that eventually.
Maybe a beta version, like a beta version of it. All right, so what are you giving Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders, Eric?
I'm going to give this movie, let's see, an 8.
A silent version that you need a separate phonograph, like with a vinyl. That like you have to do it at the same time. And
no, you actually have to get a 35mm.
Yeah,
print.
A 35mm.
How about Radical 8-track?
An 8-track.
No, better yet. It's
on Super 8.
The video 8-track.
Super 8.
Super 8.
That's awesome, man. Super 8. I love it.
Oh, suddenly I feel terrible for knowing what
that is. No, we can call
it
Groovy 8. So we are all disco here.
God, Eric is the baby of the bunch here. You don't remember.
I'll always be the baby.
I know, man. All right, man. You got one more.
There's a funny exchange in chat. I just want to read off.
On the show. He's on, still about as old as you guys. Yeah.
Eric, hold on.
MXT says, Asmodeus must embrace the dark side. Join me as co-manager of Walmart.
Oh my
and
God.
We will rule the galaxy. Which Freak 5 Cast says,
by the galaxy, you mean the section where all the Android phones are?
Yeah. And what break that? He's so bitch.
Freak 5 Cast says, does Walmart drug test?
Oh my God.
He would like to add that to it.
Let me add to that conversation. I've already worked for that evil empire, man, as a supervisor for Sam's Club.
Yeah, so. People I've known who've worked for Walmart have never been happy.
Oh God, it's fucking awful, man. It's just awful for what you get paid. All right, Justice League versus Teen Titans, Eric, go.
Justice League versus Teen Titans. Well, the probably more sought after or more anticipated movie than Killing Joke was, because, well, we know how that turned out. Anyways, because
there's a very vocal crowd of Teen Titan fans.
But also, it makes me want to see a Teen Titans TV series that didn't end up like Go or even the original series, because even though I liked the original series, it was still as goofy as shit. And
yeah, and it didn't really end. It kind of ended before they
It didn't take itself seriously. I want a more serious story.
And Go is just terrible. I can't watch fucking Go.
I've never seen
Go. Go's awful.
Yes, Go is awful. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Anyways, this is about. Well, first, the movie starts off with bait and switch, thinking that it's a Justice League where they're going to be fighting the Legion of Doom, because they're fighting most of the Legion of Doom members, and most of the ones from the Super Friends are actually there, except instead of Brainiac, we have got some guy called the Wizard.
Yeah, okay.
But after that happens, we see some mysterious shadows come in and take over the Wizard, and he becomes a demon, and they take care of the problem, but they didn't really take care of the problem. And slowly, this presence starts taking over members of the Justice League for some unknown purpose, which we learn is that Trigon's coming back and he wants to take over the planet and use Raven as a means to do that. And where the Teen Titans come in is that Robin, who's Damian from the previous films, so there is continuity there. So basically he's being an insufferable brat, so Bruce decides to have him shack up with the Teen Titans to learn what it means to work with other people. And so even though they go off to a rough start, they eventually start warming up to each other. And he becomes less of a jerk. And I don't know how old he's supposed to be in this movie. I think he's a teenager at this point. Because I think – because like when the Son of Batman came out, I think he was only 10. And I think there was actually a 2-year time skip between that movie and the next one.
All right.
And, they do hint at the fact that, apparently he seems to have a thing for Raven. Which I thought was cute. But, the members of the Teen Titans in this are Beast Boy, Raven, and, Starfire is the only adult of the group because they need a chaperone, of course. Because, like, I guess there was an old Teen Titans group that we never get to see, and this is why I want that TV show to exist. But, because apparently she knew Nightwing because he was a part of that group. But I don't know who else was a part of that group. I think Beast Boy might have still been there because I think his genetics kind of prevent him from aging because he could just change his body any way he wants to, pretty much. But the other member was a Blue Beetle, the one with the symbiote, not the gadgets.
All right.
I think that was the Silver Age Blue Beetle. But it was a decent movie. I'd give this also an 8.
That's pretty good, man. That's pretty high praise for a couple of DC movies. DC's always had it all over Marvel when it comes to animated
movies. Especially after them struggling to do decent movies lately.
Yeah, like live action movies for sure. Marvel has it all over them.
I'm just really irritated that there's no like
CG. I mean, the last couple of Batman movies were blah.
Yeah, what were you saying, Breakman?
They haven't done a TV show in a long time. Like, what was the last one? Was that Young Justice?
Yeah, we're getting a season 3 at least.
Yeah.
Wait, we are?
Yep, yeah. It's been officially announced.
Mm-hmm. When did this happen? Who told me that? What?
This
go
was
back.
A
rewind.
Like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Who knew? What? But somebody.
I need to watch the series.
Yeah.
Start over.
So do I.
You've got me aroused. You need to explain.
Oh, God.
Wait.
That's dangerous.
Please change your choice of words.
Yeah, exactly.
I meant excited.
Oh, God. That's still dangerous.
Oh,
man.
Wait a minute. Happy?
That's still awful. I don't even want to think about
it. I was like, it's okay. That just means I'm happy.
Every time Break says happy from now on, that's all I'm going to think about. Oh, my God. Yeah, this is like, fucking awful,
you're
man.
Sporting a throbbing erection.
Oh, God. This is awful, man. Mug, you have a review for Assassin's Creed. Please don't spoil.
Yes, I do. Don't waste your money.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, do not waste your money on this piece of shit.
So even
this is easily the worst movie I've seen in a very long time.
So Fassbender couldn't even save this movie, huh?
No, he could not. Oh my it God. Is. Yeah. You know, what's weird is that I mean, anybody who's played the games is you know they, it's there's a fairly. I mean, I've always found some charm in the modern day stuff in the games. And I've always been irritated that they essentially just kind of stopped paying any attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like
a good game that I really played a lot. The only Assassin's Creed game I played a lot, they completely ignored that aspect of the game.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, that was part of what made the series interesting was all this hinting at all this stuff that happened in the past and this precursor race and everything. I was like, well, this is kind of neat. It's a weird, like alien technological sort of approach to like, you know, the, you know, where humanity came from. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool, but they ignore that pretty much completely in the movie. About 3/4 of it takes place outside the Animus.
Hmm.
The only character's name that I remember is Michael Fassbender's, and his name was like Callum Drummond. There's no characterization at all. And the sequence, like the action sequences where they're shooting in the past, they look nice, but like all the color grading and filtering and everything that they do on everything means you can't see any of the nice production design that that was created for the movie. The editing is horrible. Like every single like thing that they shoot, they had to shoot from three different angles and they had to show you all three angles.
So it's constant cutting back and forth.
And probably the most annoying thing about it was that, okay, they established they put him in that weird goofy harness thing, which was never in the games. But he's fighting somebody and, and they cut back and they show him in the Animus outfit miming the actions of his ancestor. And they'll show this phantom version
of VR.
It basically makes it look like this VR thing. But I'm like, that in and of itself wouldn't be such
a bad
thing.
It's almost as if they were trying to sell a product.
Well, no, it's like the thing was that in and of itself wouldn't have been so bad. If they had done it, it's like, okay, this is what's happening. This is what the purpose of the harness is. This is why this is, that we did this. It's like, okay, you've established that and maybe cut back to it every once in a while. They cross cut between the action in the past and him miming the shit in the present constantly. It's like, you can't focus on what's going on because the cross cutting back to the present is so fucking distracting. And the thing is, the movie loves these long, lingering shots of stuff that's apparently supposed to be dreadfully important, but gives you absolutely no explanation for why. Yeah. Like at the climax of this movie, it's like, okay, something's changed. It's like, oh, he's going in willingly. He's fully synchronized. Whatever the fuck that means. It's like, and even as someone who's a fan of the series and knows the lore and everything, he's going in willingly. What the fuck does that? What significance does that mean? He's fully synchronized. Well, that means he just did exactly what his ancestor did. Why this is important or why this changed anything? And there's a bunch of characters whose names you will not remember. Like these characters that are introduced as like, oh, they're supposed to be significant for some reason. Why? Why are they there? Who knows? It's not explained, and it's like, every single time when they show him in the in the Animus, when he's in that harness thing, it's like someone pumped a goddamn fog machine into the room. Like, you can't see anything. And I hated this movie.
Yeah.
You have no fucking idea how much I hated this movie. And I wanted to like it, which is why I hate it so much.
Well, I saw reviews for it.
But hang on, it gets better.
Oh shit.
And the last, like I said, it loves these long, lingering shots. Like at the climax of the movie, it's like something big happens, and then it's like you see him in the Animus, like he's standing there in the Animus and seeing all these ghostly images, which I guess are supposed to be of like his various ancestors, like assassin ancestors. But and all this stuff is like this thing where like the security guards get called out to deal with this outbreak of violence or whatever, and they just run right into people like swinging weapons and stuff. It's like it's horrible. But for this scene where this skirmish is approaching him as he's in the Animus, and he sees all these ancestors or whatever standing in front of him. I don't know if it's his ancestors. It didn't explain, but it sits here and it feels like just fucking forever. Where it's like a minute and a half. I mean, it's an eternity of screen time where nothing is fucking happening. And it's like it's just these long, lingering shots of these people and a full shot of him standing there with all these ghostly images around him. It's like, wow, this is significant. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I'm in the theater. I said out loud, quietly, to myself, I was like, boring. I've never done that in my life. After that, when they get to the full denouement, it's like, okay, we're all, you're at this really, really pedestrian, weak sequel baiting for, and it's just like, well, I, and my thought was like, well, I guess this is the end. I mean, this feels like, I mean, I suppose that was supposed to be the climax, and which means I guess this is the end. And it's like, I'm guessing like, what? Well, this feels like an ending shot, although this doesn't feel like an ending scene. Mm. Like, and dive and, you know, blink, you know, directed by so-and-so. This movie fucking sucked. It is worse than Super Mario Brothers.
You know what
you gave me my Stinko of the Year, by the way. Just go on. I'll get to it.
Go ahead, Frank.
I'm with you.
I got a Sweeto, actually.
Hold on, Eric.
Wait, everybody's negative, and this gives Eric a Sweeto.
I know. It's like, I like it when everyone's pissed off.
Look, when you spoke to yourself and said it was boring, like out loud, like I'm one that if I go to a movie, I'm gonna damn well watch that movie all the way to the end because I paid a lot to see it. I don't care if it's the biggest piece of shit. But there was one movie that I saw in the theaters that I was like, what in the fuck am I watching? And I think I even said that out loud. It was The Perfect Storm with George Clooney.
Oh,
it was
I've never
bad.
Seen it.
Oh my God, dude, don't waste your fucking, don't even waste your time, dude.
It's like, if you really want to see Assassin's Creed, wait until it hits a streaming service that you're not paying it so that you don't have to pay to see it.
Yeah.
Because it's incredibly not worth the money.
No.
Like it squanders, like everything that everything good that it has going for it is ruined by bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. Even the violence is very nearly bloodless. Yeah. This is a PG-13 movie. It feels PG.
There's
a scene like where he's fighting this big guy, like the big, you know, scene of like the major bad guy, or like not so much the bad guy, but the heavy, and he finally takes him out. And it's like, oh, it's like slash, slash, slash. I mean, blood should be everywhere. There's a tiny little puddle on the ground, and it's black. So that, you know, it's like, oh, we don't want to see red.
Yeah, right.
Because they fucking color graded it. And it's just, oh, God, it's so bad, guys.
All right, what are you giving Assassin's Creed, Mug?
I would give it a 2.
A 2 out of 10. There you go.
The stuff in the past is neat to look at, and it's like you can look at it. It's like in still shots. It's like, okay, that's kind of cool. It's not like there's absolutely nothing redeeming about it, but every single thing that's redeeming about it is completely overshadowed by all the horrible decisions. Mm. The script is lousy, and the actors have nothing to work with.
Oh my God!
Yeah, Marion Cotillard and Jeremy Irons are both great actors.
Yeah, I saw
Michael Fassbender does the best he can with it, but there's just nothing there. This is worse. This is equally as bad as Attack of the Clones.
Oh my God, that's saying a lot.
Well, it is at least that bad. And the thing is, I don't have any like, but it's Star Wars, so I'm going to try and make excuses for it. Right. No, this is exactly as bad as Attack of the Clones.
Oh my God,
I don't have any excuses for it. It's just shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I was angry walking out of that movie.
Speaking of Michael Fassbender, that made reminded me of what my stinko of the year is.
Okay.
X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, okay.
I've dreamed of an X-Men, like an Apocalypse movie, like since I was like 11 years old, since I was a little kid. Like he was the ultimate bad guy.
Apocalypse was a big pussy in that movie, man.
The more I think of that movie, the more I just hate it, and the more angry I am. They just God.
I got a real quick review of a movie called Storks, guys. I had my daughter.
Michael Fassbender.
Wait, why did you see that piece of shit? I knew it was be a shit for the trailer.
I know. What were you saying, Brake?
Well, I wasn't expecting it to be great, but just how bad it went, just how bad they went off the rails with that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked the Apocalypse movie. It just wasn't as good as it could have been.
Oh my God!
Well, one of the funniest parts of it though was like the thing where what's her name, the new Jean Grey, Sansa Stark, was said like the third one's always the worst, and it's like the third X-Men trilogy. This one, it is definitely the worst by far. I honestly think. Yeah. I honestly think Apocalypse was worse than The Last Stand. Because I thought The Last Stand was not terrible. It was just a very mediocre film.
I can't get past the part that they killed my favorite X-Men in the worst possible way ever. I couldn't get past that part, so for me it was the worst X-Men movie.
Apocalypse was?
No. Last Stand.
Yeah, Last Stand for me was
my the worst. My favorite X-Men is Cyclops.
Yeah.
They give him the lamest death in movie history.
Yeah, you're not in this movie, so we're just going to off you right now. Good reason.
We're going to explode you with a kiss.
Yeah, exactly.
Explode. Goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. I've
been X-Men fan forever, and Cyclops has always been he's my favorite.
Yeah.
The lamest death in movie history.
For the lamest character in comics history.
No, Cyclops is good in comics. Cyclops is good in comics.
Yeah, so I can't ever get past that. For me, that's always going to be the worst X-Men movie. But yeah, I can understand.
I don't know if he's the lamest, but he's definitely the douchiest.
I hate you too. So
in the comics,
Cyclops is a big douche.
He kind of is
in the comics too. But that's what makes him interesting. He's a good character in the comics. I like Cyclops quite a bit. And plus his powers are fucking badass, man. That he's got badass powers.
I love his optic glass.
He's
always been my favorite. Why do you guys gotta be pooping on my parade here?
I'm not hating, man. I'm on your side.
Why you gotta poop on my worshiping?
I have a real quick review of Storks. I was reluctant to rent this movie, but I had my daughter, and you know, it's kind of one of those things. We love scary movies, but we have to kind of temper it with kind of a family-oriented movie. And Storks was it. And I got to tell you guys, I was pleasantly surprised. I actually laughed a few times. Most of those, kids movies, I don't really laugh a lot. But this one had a bunch of good gag.
I think the only appeal is you had a kid to enjoy it with. I could watch the movie and enjoy it.
I think there's a lot of good adult humor in it. Actually,
I kind of get the idea it'd be good humor if you're a parent.
Yeah, I think that's...
I think me and Eric would be kind of like...
I think you guys would have fun with it.
I don't know. I get the idea it's more about parents and the relationship with the children.
No, I think you guys are throwing a blind eye to this movie when it's not...
I'm doing it because you recommended it.
I'm serious.
I'll do that.
I do have a couple of other quick reviews for movies that I saw.
Okay, hang on, man. Let me finish this one. But I think there's enough adult humor in this movie to make it worth a watch. It's at Redbox. I mean, pay a buck. It's worth it. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be absolute shit, but the voice acting's on point. The jokes hit me right. I think it's a movie for all ages, but I'm going to give Storks a 7.5 out of 10. So I expected a 2 or 3, but I was pleasantly surprised. Mug, you have a couple more quick hitters.
Yeah, I saw I saw four movies in 2 days, one of which was the second viewing of Rogue One. But I also saw Passengers and Moana.
Yeah, Passengers.
Moana is very good.
Yes,
it's a tiny bit longer than it needs to be.
Yeah, I agree.
But the characters are fun and enjoyable. Mm-hmm. The script is really tight. Yeah. Very well, it's very well written. The characters are engaging and they're enjoyable. And the music is really nice.
Yes, that's another great thing about that movie. Yeah.
I think it was, what's the name of the song? It's like Where I'll Go. It's like this song where she's singing about the sea, calling to her and everything. Wow, this is really, really high quality Disney musical music.
Yeah, they did good.
And holy crap, that movie is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
It is an absolute visual spectacle to see that film.
I can't wait to see it in Blu-ray form, high definition. It's going to be awesome, man.
It is just beautiful.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was very pleased with it. Like I said, it ran a little longer than it needed to, but I liked the way it wrapped up the story, and it was it had a lot of heart. And I didn't enjoy it quite as much as I enjoyed Zootopia, which I think was fucking superlative. But it was extremely good.
Yeah, Zootopia is my movie of the year, by the way.
I just wanted to mention that It felt like some kind of weird hybridization of Aladdin and the Emperor's New Groove.
Mm. It's better in both of those movies combined, man.
But, I don't know if I'd say that because I have an irrational love for the Emperor's New Groove. I love that movie. It is one of my favorites.
It's okay.
But the other one, Passengers, was weird. I had a kind of a strange, you know, impression of the movie going in. I saw the trailers and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. And it was weird. I read a review on it talking about how the movie is ruined by some, some story ruining twist. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm watching the movie. I'm like, all right, I'm waiting for the, and I spend the entire film waiting for the twist to happen. Mm-hmm. And there's a surprise near the, in the final act of the film, but it's not a twist. Hmm. Like, it's just like, oh, okay, that's, here's an event that, it didn't telegraph in any way, but it's not surprising because it's not like, this is a thing that, I could not have possibly seen coming. Hmm. It doesn't a twist is something, is like a sudden revelation that recontextualizes the events of the story that you just watched.
I think we all know just what a twist is, man.
Well, no, but I'm I realize that, but I'm just saying my point is that, this is what a twist is. Everyone knows what this is. What happens in this movie is not a twist in any way, shape, or form. And I'm like, okay, I mean, it's an enjoyable movie. It has a fantastic, just the design of it, the design of the ship and everything is really good. It's not as well paced as it should be. I think it kind of focuses on some of the wrong things. The trailer makes it look like kind of a man against technology thriller sort of. Mm-hmm. And it's really not that. Because the stuff they show in the trailer of things breaking down, that only happens at things are kind of messing up here and there. But where stuff starts really going wrong, that doesn't happen until the very end of it, when they're building toward the climax.
Climax.
And oh my good God, Lord. You're 12. I enjoyed the film for what it was. I mean, it was not like, this isn't going to win any awards. It's not that great science fiction.
Yeah.
But it's a slightly above average film.
Yeah.
I would say that was, I would rate Moana about an 8.5, yeah, and I would give Passengers a 6.5.
Yeah, Passengers got killed by the critics, man. That's why I passed on that one, man. It was like,
yeah, it's not. Gross. I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's worth watching, but
is it worth Netflixing?
It is worth Netflixing. I don't. I wouldn't. I. It's or not worth going box. To see in a theater. Yeah, it's not worth going to see in a theater.
Yeah, I want to see Rogue One again. Maybe I'll do that after the show, man. I ain't got shit.
Go for it.
So, yeah.
And actually, what's funny is I found that Rogue One is much better on a second viewing. It smooths over. It's like when I go back and looking for details when I'm not surprised by certain things. Mm-hmm. Like the CG characters weren't distracting to me like they were initially because I knew they were there. It's just like, okay, this is just kind of like just taking it in as it comes.
Sort of like Han stepping on Vader.
Yeah. Are you mean Jabba?
Yeah, or I'm sorry, Han stepping on Jabba. You're right. No, my bad.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like
one of the most horrible additions in Star Wars history. But
it was completely completely unnecessary.
Oh, you're talking about that
exactly the same ground that the Greedo scene did.
You're talking about that CG Jabba, right?
And there was an easy fix for it too.
Yeah, they fucked.
Was there? The easy fix was doing what they did before and just leaving it out because it's a redundant scene. Right.
Well, if you wanted to put that scene in, you absolutely had to have Han talking to Vader. They could have used one of those mobile holocron video or what do they call those?
Hologram.
Hologram video. Yeah, thank you.
Hmm. Yeah, holocrons were what generate the videos, but I don't think that would work so well, just because you would have had to find some reason. Well, maybe if they did kind of the same thing that they had that they gave Sidious in Episode One, that weird little spider leg walking one. About. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
That's what I'm talking about. So they already did it.
The scene's still unnecessary, though.
Right. Well, right.
It covers the exact same story beats as the Greedo scene.
Nerds. Right. But I'm just saying, adding him, stepping on him, that was absolutely ridiculous. You could have. There were so many other solutions.
Nerds.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that the hologram idea, now that you mentioned it, that would have been a much more elegant solution than what they
Nerds.
Went
Nerds. Nerds. I'm kidding. Yeah,
didn't he just say like a few minutes ago he's going to go see Star Wars?
That's what I was just thinking. Like, I think I might go see Rogue One again after this.
Shut your goddamn mouth. Yeah, I can only do this to you guys. You guys can't do this shit to me, man. Come on, man.
That is some horse shit.
You've obviously never listened to this show, Frank.
By the way,
I know. You would think you were never on the show, but I mean, we realize you only put in 10%.
Shut your goddamn mouth, man. You son of a bitch. Man, you guys are exiles, man. That's going to be my final solution for 2016.
Happy fucking New Year's, right?
Final solution?
Yeah. Final solution is to exile everybody. Except for Eric, because he's been kind of quiet.
It's like, let's be honest here. If you're talking final solution, you're just going to exile all the Jews.
I said, I'm not – you son of a bitch. You're the one bringing
solution.
Up all
that means
of,
Nazis.
Yeah, well, you guys are fucking Nazis, man. Son of a bitch.
I thought I also referenced Allah. And Islam and wanting to do a jihad.
Oh shit!
I think so.
Yeah, there you go. Might as well.
The Nazi, the final. Yeah, the Hitler's final solution was eliminating all of Jews. I mean, that was
Yeah. No, I know. I know my history.
It wasn't just all Jews. That was everybody who wasn't. Blonde, blue eyed.
Yeah, but mostly Jews. Come on, let's.
Well, I'm just saying, like in Germany, there was a large population of Jews.
And what's funny,
it also meant black people, homosexuals. And, you know, anybody didn't fit
Mexicans,
in.
Mexicans.
Basically, anybody who wasn't white. Right, exactly. That was my point.
Yeah. Let's see. You know what? We're not going to do a real free-for-all real quickly. Just any parting thoughts for 2016 since this is the last show of the year, guys? We'll start with Mug. Anything you want to say about 2016?
Well, it's had its ups, it's had its downs, and it's had its heartbreaks. But and I can't say I'm sorry to see the end of it, but I'm afraid of what 2017 will bring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not so much for myself. I mean, I'm nervous about the changes that 2017 will bring for myself, but for the country, yeah, I'm worried.
Yeah. I thought about that too, man. As a minority, it's going to suck, especially. But Eric, any final thoughts of 2016?
It's been a crazy year, and the next year is probably going to be a little bit crazier at first, but I am hopeful that it'll get better eventually.
Oh, shit. Ah! Hang on.
And there's a lot of good games coming out next year, so at least we can have escapism.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely need it. Fucking South Park. Yeah. Bring it on.
Yeah, I know. Hold on a second. I got an audience in here. Hang on one second. What about you, Breakman?
Wait, what have they announced what date South Park's coming out?
It got pushed back, and as far as I know, it's like on Amazon it lists like March 29th or something like that.
Okay, because last I saw was spring, so
yeah,
I was wondering.
Okay, any final thoughts, Breakman, on 2016?
And that pretty much sums it up right there.
Oh, my God, man. That's the best summary of all. Eric, did I skip you, man?
About what?
About 2016. Any final thoughts on 2016?
No, you got to me.
All right. My final thoughts of 2016. It's been a pretty awesome year for gaming. Shitty entertainment year with all the losses in movies and music. Personally, it's been a fucktard of a year, and I can't wait for the next couple of days to be over. So that way, in my mind, things are fresh. But I'm looking forward to 2017. I think it's going to be stellar. I mean, it's already turned around a little bit for me. Yesterday was a good indication of that. I don't want to share with you guys just yet. But I shared with my friends before the show, you guys. And I want to say to all the listeners out there, to anybody that's in chat or has been in chat for the last year, for the last 8-9 years, I appreciate you guys. I don't say it enough. I appreciate my co-host, Mug. You've been a fine addition to the show. Breakman, you know, you're a stalwart, man. And I appreciate everything you do, man. You bring a good kind of fun vibe to the show that is really needed. Eric is the rock of the show. He anchors almost everything. He puts the news together. He puts interesting topics together. He helps with editing. He helps with posting, just like Mug does.
I think Eric is more the adult alternative of the show, not so much the Rock.
Yeah.
better yet, he's the Christian contemporary of the show.
I honestly want to thank you guys. It's been awesome. I'm going to continue doing this because, you know, there's been a lot of forces against me doing this show. And I just want to say that I'm getting my life back. And this show is a big part of my life, and I'm not going to let anybody, and I mean anybody, take this show away from me. And if that means that if I die next week, you guys know that you know, this show has been like almost everything to me. I know I haven't been active with trying to get more listeners or anything like that. I'm not saying I put in million percent effort into the show, but this show means more to me than, you know, a lot of things in life do. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank the chatters next, because you know, people like Freak Five, people like Wyland, people like MXT, people like Dungeon Buster, Gripper, Slagar, you know, anybody.
But did you see what Freak said? It's like, my new year's resolution: test Frank's appreciation of me.
Well, trust me, you're on thin ice, Freak Five. So you continue testing that thin ice, man. I really do want to thank everybody that's listening in the archives. I know sometimes you don't get a chance to get into chat. Some people would like to be in chat, but can't be in chat. So if you're listening to this, you know, I appreciate you guys listening. You know, tell your friends, tell them that there's a show that's been around for over 8 years that features a bunch of dorky guys doing a bunch of dorky things, like talking about video games, mostly dorky RPGs and movie reviews, and you know, just talking about, you know, secular issues, you know, interesting things like aliens. I mean, we've covered Bigfoot, we've covered the gamut of fucking just weird ass shit. And I think
and when you tell them to listen to this show, just remember to say "or else."
Yeah, or else. Yeah.
And I think I've just come up with my favorite, or like what I think is the best summation of, you know, for 2016.
Yeah.
2016 is still better than Dragon Quest VIII.
Oh, get the fuck out of here, you son of a bitch. You goddamn son of a bitch. Fuck off. Exiled. Son of a bitch, man.
Speaking of, if you want that game, get it now, please.
Yeah.
It comes out in 20 days.
You son of a bitch. Goddamn Mug. Fucking exiled off this gotcha. Next week, there'll be a new co-host for the show. Mug, this is Mug's last show.
Frank will be leaving us.
This is Mug's last show. So, no, all joking aside, it's been an awesome, you know, run. I'm going to continue doing it probably till the day I die, which, you know, for you guys, probably want me to die next week.
But, never, because you're the eternal one.
Yeah, that's true.
He's certainly old enough to be.
You son of a bitch. I really enjoy doing this show. I enjoy doing it for all you guys. It means a lot to me that we've lasted this long, man. And I think we can continue keeping this thing going for a long time. I mean, I've had so many things go against me this year. This year's sucked, but always I've found a way to at least put on a decent show. At least in my mind, I think it's decent. So thank you guys so much for, you know, everything that you guys do. Listening, co-host-wise, you guys rock. I really do appreciate your efforts. I think 2017 is going to be, you know, maybe not a great year politically, but it's going to be a great year game-wise. There's already a shit ton of games coming out that are going to be awesome. Grinders,
that was one thing. 2016 was good for games.
It was good for – I mentioned that. It was pretty good.
A lot of impossible localizations happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I've said this before. I think every year is the best year to be a gamer. I think that every year we get just amazing games.
Yeah.
Year after year. I think we get better and better games.
Yeah. With that being said, Mug, plugs.
The revival of Dragon Quest is certainly a good thing happened this year.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate it.
right. Everyone else can learn just how bad these games are.
Get the fuck out of here, you little bitch. Mug, do your goddamn plugs first so you can shut your fucking mouth.
You can find me pretty much.
When are you going to get a 3DS break?
Yeah. Break, man. Son of a bitch.
Anyway, you can find me pretty much anywhere. Moria Mug. MoriaMug. Hit me up if you're so inclined.
Yeah. Breakman.
When are you guys going to get Xbox Ones and play with me?
I know.
How's that?
Dude, that's on the list, man. I need to pay off my fucking PS4.
Just say never.
PS4.
It's okay.
When are you going to get a PS4?
I want an Xbox One, and I want Quantum Break and Killer Instinct.
Yeah. All right, Breakman, your plugs, please. Your final plugs for the year.
Somebody else can kick my ass in Killer Instinct. Awesome.
Nice. I'm not good at Killer Instinct.
I still need to get Killer Instinct. I have like season one for free, but I think I didn't buy season two or three.
Right,
yeah, Wyland says that just remember when you feel like you're really down and things seem like they suck, you're not DSP XD.
Oh, that's boy.
Awesome, man. I appreciate that, Wyland. Wyland, we're going to have to catch up sometime, man. I see you on Twitter every once in a while. All right, Breakman, your plugs.
Our shatters, but you already did that.
XD is a Sorehand message system that's supposed to be a smiley face with crossed eyes.
Oh, I gotcha. All right, Breakman.
You can follow me at RPGrinders and at Break_Man. That's it. Happy New Year.
You can follow me.
Just picture me in a diaper.
Oh, God.
I'm your New Year baby.
And please don't be happy.
New Year baby, not burger.
Please don't be happy while you're wearing that diaper, Breakman. Please don't be happy.
That just means I'm happy. That just means I'm happy.
Early emoticon, basically.
You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. You son of a bitches out there not following me. I don't know what – well, actually, I know why you're not following me because I'm hardly ever on there. And I don't say anything worthwhile. So don't follow me on Twitter. At Frank Branches, at RP Grinders. At RP Grinders, please follow at RP Grinders. Breakman runs that Twitter account, and we usually have a few interesting things to say here and there on it. You can send in all your comments to at RP Grinders. We will read them on the air. Freak 5 Chaos can attest to that.
I was going to say, like, we'll pretty much read anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, based on his text to us, or his tweet to us, we do read anything. And then here's hoping to a really great 2016 sucks. I don't think there's anything else I have. Until next year, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back next year. Until then, we are out. Take care, everybody. Thank
you. Wait, I got something to say.
Yeah.
I think Mug does too.
Okay.
Somebody made a request of him to do a certain thing.
Yeah.
But before that, I'd like to say buy more porn. Go to Indie Gala and get porn games.
There you go. All right, bud.
Yeah, there you go.
What did you want
to
say?
I think the request was
– No, it was not that.
It was the end outro.
Exiled.
Fuck you guys. I'm going home.
I went with the closest thing that I could think of.
All right, what was?
I mean, I done the Better Than Dragon Quest VIII thing. I did the harmonica. So I mean, what more can you ask of me?
Well, go ahead. You got an audience, and I'm still recording. So go for it.
Oh, in that case, holy dungeon!